Welcome to Blood on Wall, or Boot on Mirror, a podcast from an anarcha-feminist perspective. As I promised last time, we are going to finally talk about the book, The Power, by Naomi Alderman. So, after the panel discussion of 2DH5...
which I thought was fun.
Where there were way too many men blabbering on about power...
I normally think is fun.
Really? How do you guess? We are going to get down to business and talk about how we women are going to destroy the patriarchy. But before we do this, we have another guest, Yulia. She is fighting the company that is refusing to pay her last month's wages... and now she's working together with the anarchist group Amsterdam to get her money back. My name is Sietske. I'm a feminist, art critic, and journalist. And here with me is my co-host, Harriet.
Yeah, sorry. I already started talking. So I'm Harriet. I'm a feminist. I'm an anarchist. I do a PhD on political emotions. It's a philosophy PhD in climate change. And this episode is in English, as you've noticed. And we're also sitting here with Julia.
Hi, I'm Julia, and I'm also a feminist and anarchist. I'm living in Netherlands for years already. I came here from Moscow. I studied environment protection in Moscow.
Okay, cool. Yep.
Cool, great to have you here.
Yeah, thank you for being here.
So, my feminist moment of the week how long I haven't seen you was yesterday, because my good friend from the Feminist Alcoholic Collective turned 55 last week.
Woohoo!
And she celebrated it with a wonderful dinner.
And alcohol.
And lots of alcohol yesterday night. And it was really fun because we realized we've already known this group of feminist alcoholic friends for like 6 or 7 years. And she was like, wow, when I first met you, you were 20. Now I'm 55 and you're only 27. But it was, really, really fun to realize how important we are for each other and how much the conversations have helped each other to become feminist, but to also live a better life and be more secure about what you ask for and what you're worth and whatever. So it was a great feminist moment.
I was there later, very much later, but it was really nice party. So
what's your feminist moment of the week?
I read this essay, and I'll also put a link into it. And I was already kind of telling you about it last night. But I read this essay about loneliness, and especially about lonely men. It started with that. So when there's a heat wave, there's always like some elderly people that die. But usually those are like single men who don't take care of themselves anymore, and then just like kind of die away like plants. I don't know. No, not like plants, but they just like...
Oh, so your feminist moments of the week is men dying.
It was a really good essay. It really kind of explained how women, maintain their friendships and the intimacy of their friendships, like usually during their whole lifetime. So, and with men, usually around the age of 15, they...
15?
15 years, they get less intimate with their friends. There's all this research, but basically men fare well by marrying, but then if their partner, if they get divorced... or their partner dies, they usually were very dependent on
So that's also why men like marry again very often, whereas women are like, I'm done with this shit.
Yeah, exactly. Men really benefit from marriage because of the social context, but then when their wife dies or leaves them, they
forget to do all the work themselves.
Know how to like connect. So, but it, what the most funny thing was that like at the end of the article, I saw this footnote and it said like, Yes, and this research done into like loneliness of men and how they can like become more intimate is mostly done by women.
What a surprise.
Yeah.
So for today's episode, we now talked about our feminist moments. We're going to have the interview with Julia, and then we're going to discuss the power, the book we've read. And after that, we will announce what we're going to do in the upcoming weeks.
Yes, exactly. Julia, you have been working for the IMS agency and the Urban Lodge Hotel. The Urban Lodge Hotel charges 200 euro per night for a room, by the way, but they are refusing to pay Julia her last month's wages. 24 March, you organized a second action together with the anarchist group Amsterdam by picketing in front of the Urban Lodge Hotel. Thank you for coming again and talking to us about this. So let's start at the beginning. Can you tell us about what kind of work you were doing for the IMS agency and Urban Lodge Hotel?
Yeah, so I got this contract from IMS agency Eucentro, and I was responsible for serving and cooking breakfast. And usually I got this schedule once in a week, and I could work like in 3 different hotels per week. But most of the time I work in the Urban Hotel. So, yeah, that is.
And why did you have to stop working, and when did you discover that you weren't getting paid anymore for your last month's work?
Yeah, in November I found out that I have a cancer, and since I had to go through really heavy therapy, radiotherapy, which like last couple of months, I decided that I will just quit, because anyway I had like 40 hours contract and per month. So then when I start therapy, I still work in a bit, but when I already didn't have enough energy, I called them, informed them about my situation, and they were actually pretty nice. We agreed that, yeah, I will work a couple of days and I could quit. So there was like no conflict or anything. And yeah, like I have to get paid 25th of December. And after 1 week, they still didn't pay me. I tried to reach him. My manager, but he still didn't pick up the phone. He just ignored my calls, and I even like saw he was online all the time. He read my messages, but he didn't respond in any way. And yeah, after 1 week, after that, I decided that I'll just go to the office and talk with the owner or a manager, even though I was like really horrible condition. And I came there, and the owner opened the door, and he immediately started acting like he is a victim here. He told me, yeah, I'm sorry that we didn't respond to your messages and calls, but I don't have any money right now. And I said, yeah, but there's still people working in the hotel, so you just try to keep it secretly. You're not informing people or anyone about it. And he was, yeah, but it's really not my fault. The last team deals took everything from me. And yeah, so he really tried to play a victim there. Yeah. And yeah, when I tried to contact my colleagues, they didn't know about the situation at all. So they just continued working. They also didn't get paid. And they just tried to, keep it secret.
Yeah. Okay. And they tried to, he tried to blame it on the tax? My God.
Yeah. His own mismanagement.
Yeah, no, but that's just, also a really ridiculous story. Are you, by the way, feeling better now?
The thing is, it's a rare type of cancer, so I couldn't get chemotherapy. I got just radiotherapy, it's high dose of radiation.
Yeah.
But usually it works pretty well, and I have to just come every couple of months to check if I still have it or not.
Yeah.
But it should go fine.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm glad to hear that you're doing better then.
You're almost ready to go back to the workforce.
I'm so excited.
No, but it's important to check up on people and be like, are you okay?
We're here to talk about work. Come on.
So how can you tell us about when and why you decided to go to the anarchist group Amsterdam, and how are they helping you? with this?
Yeah, I hear that actually from my friend that anarchist group, they already did some actions for hotel workers. Uh-huh. There was one case that cleaners from one hotel didn't get paid. And yeah, hotel just completely refused them and yeah, just ignored them also. And anarchist group were really supportive and really active. They did some actions and in the end hotel paid their salary. So yeah, anarchist group, they're really supportive with worker rights.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. They're like also I heard that because they have also, all the information is so many languages. So
yeah.
Even the Mexican government actually links to their website because they are like the only ones who have this information about working rights in Spanish for people. Mm-hmm. So it's...
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's also quite often that actually in this kind of business, in the hotel, there's basically immigrant, most of them, in the cleaning especially. So, yeah, they usually just don't know what to do if they don't get paid. For example, I ask some of my colleagues if they want to go to a lawyer with me, and, yeah, it seems like they're just afraid, and they say, no, I prefer to wait. I don't know how does it, the system work here or something.
Yeah.
So it's also often the most vulnerable people.
Yeah, exactly.
Who get exploited.
Yeah.
There have been a couple of actions. Can you tell us how they went, and do you think this is working? How is this working?
So yeah, there was already a couple of actions, and first one it was in the front of this Eutenbro office, but the thing is like it was completely empty and closed already. But I was really happy that we print quite much flyers and posters and we spread it. And yeah, people who pass by and neighbors also, they were informed about the situation. But yeah, unfortunately, there was no people in the office, so we couldn't like talk with them or something. But the second actions was like exactly in the hotel where I work most of the time.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's usually really full. There's a lot of people there. So we came there with like 15 people with banners and megaphones. Mm-hmm. And yeah, tried to also inform the people by giving them flyers. Manager, of course, were really pissed. But some people, some guests in this hotel, they're really, really nice. Because they said, wow, we didn't know about it, the situation, otherwise we wouldn't stay in this hotel. So I was really glad how did it went. Yeah, manager in the end called the cops, but actually nobody showed up.
Yeah.
Were you scared to go there with like a small group of people to protest?
It was a little bit intense actually for me, but I really glad that we did it. And actually it was even fun. Yeah, because we, yelled a bit at the manager there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it must feel good.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I feel like it's a really good idea to go exactly in this hotel because I called them and they were completely also informed about the situation. I told them this MS agency doesn't want to pay the salary, but they still provide people to your hotel. And yeah, manager was like, yeah, well, I tried to inform the people about the situation. Maybe we cancel contract with AMS. After 1 week, I contact with the people who still work in there, and they didn't know about it.
Okay.
So they, even like the hotels try to keep it secretly.
Yeah. And just sweep it under the carpet, I guess. Yeah.
I think it's also really weird because as a hotel, you could also say like, okay, you're already working here. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We already see what you do. We're not going to pay the agency. We're just going to pay you.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they could do because in this hotel, they have super expensive room, like 200 euro per night. It's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's really like something. I guess they just like don't want to deal with the
bureaucracy and the administration and stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So they prefer comfortableness over paying their workers.
Yeah, exactly, and just like people being invisible and like
yeah.
And do you think these kinds of actions, so like showing up, like not like writing yet another letter or trying to take them to court, but be like, well, it's I'm just going to show up
fun.
There.
Yes. You get to yell at your managers.
Well, the thing is, like, I really hope then this hotel is not going to hire this kind of agency anymore. Or maybe I think it really makes sense to have the contract direct with the personals, with the employees. Then, hire some Ute Sandberg. And if in any case they can say, well, it's not my fault, it's Ute Sandberg's fault. So, yeah.
So in that sense, it's working.
Yeah. So, yeah, if they will get this experience when people come to your hotel and say, yeah, what are you doing? Why you don't pay the salary? Maybe next time they will thinking about it. Yeah.
You were also already saying that the anarchist group Amsterdam has helped other people with getting their money. But do you also, from your own experience, know if this like is a bigger problem, and are like other, is the IMS agency also not paying other people that you know about? Or
so when I still didn't get any normal information from my boss, mm-hmm. I went to one of the hotels where I worked, and I tried to talk with people like my colleagues, mm-hmm. and I told them, hey, I'm here because I didn't get paid for the last month. And one woman just looked at me completely without surprise and said, yeah, well, I don't get paid 3 months. And I said, well, why are you still working here? She's like, yeah, I don't know, they just told me wait, and I'm waiting, and yeah, I'm completely broke sometimes, so I'm like stealing food from here. So yeah, it seems like it's really common situation in the
Amsterdam hotel sector.
Yeah. So, yeah, and the people just keep it quiet, and they don't know what to do with this.
Why do you think people keep quiet?
I think because most of them immigrants, and they just don't know how does it work. When I told them, maybe we should go like all together to the lawyer, they just was look a bit afraid or something. They just didn't want to do this, and they're saying, I think it's safely just wait, because they promised me to wait. They promised me to pay if I will wait.
Okay. And because did you also invite them to like the picketing?
But line? They didn't come also.
Okay.
Unfortunately. But one of the lawyers contacted AHA a couple of days ago, mm-hmm. and he said that his client from IMS agency, and they saw the actions, and they just contact with us, just asking how's it going.
So this is a lawyer of the IMS agency, or
no? It was a lawyer from one of my colleagues. So it seems like one of my colleagues
got a lawyer.
Okay.
Yeah.
So some people are trying to also stand up in the.
And I'm really glad about it. Yeah.
And why did you not decide to get a lawyer?
I actually got a lawyer also. I decided I should go like in all ways, like, and also got juridical support. So it's a little bit also unfair because now I have to pay for a lawyer to get my own salary.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, and it also could take like 6 months before I get paid.
Jesus.
If I win the course, of course. Good.
We hope you do.
Yeah.
I was wondering if people want to help out after hearing this, what can they do at this moment?
Well, I would definitely say people should avoid this kind of hotels where I work. It's Urban Lodge Hotel, and Delphi and Espresso. It's like all hotels in Amsterdam. They're quite expensive, and they treat people also quite badly. Not mm-hmm. just about the salary, but just disrespectful.
Okay.
So would it also be like an idea to all write Google reviews?
Yeah, definitely.
And TripAdvisor things, so everybody who listens.
Just make it more publicly, yeah.
And I also heard you were planning on like a social media action.
Yeah, we will try to write about it in Facebook and spread as much as possible. And also I think we will start talking about this exact person, the person from IMS agency, not about the whole IMS agency, but mm-hmm. We will call the names like boss and owner. Yeah.
Cool. So I think we will also share that online.
Will be really nice.
We will.
And hopefully all our listeners will share it too.
Yes. please do. It's important. Thank you so much for coming. Before we are going to discuss the book, The Power, I'm going to give some short background information if you haven't read it yet. The Power is a thriller written by Naomi Alderman. It is written from the perspective of different characters about how women acquire new power. Women are now able to electrocute like an eel or a Pikachu. Not only are women able to defend themselves against men, but they can now overthrow the patriarchy and start a new world. The age of matriarchy has finally started.
Yeah, so I read it some time ago.
Yeah.
But Sietke wrote down what the four main characters were. So those are Allie, an American girl who has broken free from foster care and has been sexually abused. And as Mother Eve, she starts her own new Christian cult. There's Roxy. She's the daughter of a high-placed mobster in Britain. And when her mother gets killed by another gang, the electrical force within her rises. She is ready to take over the family business and become the godmother. But does her family of macho men agree with this new shift of power? Probably not. Then Tunde is a guy from Nigeria who is the first one to capture these sparks on film. And he soon becomes a journalist traveling all over the world and recording the downfall of the patriarchy and the uprising of matriarchy. And then there's also Margot. She is mayor of a big city in the US. She sees the shift in power as an opportunity to climb up the political ladder. But her daughter Jocelyn is struggling because her electrical spine isn't functioning well and she is having trouble affirming her power. So these are the main characters.
Then now I have to give a spoiler alert. Heads up, there might be spoilers. So if you want to read the book without knowing the ending, or I don't know if we're going to talk about the ending, but you might just want to stop listening right now. It's up to you. So the premise of The Power seems to be that if a new world order were created with women in charge, it would look little different from the way it does now. That women wouldn't use their power to oppress men. Do we agree with this premise?
That women would use their power to...
Yeah, well, in the end of the book, yeah, they do use their power to oppress men. But what do you think? Would women... If women were in charge, would we oppress?
So, yeah, as an anarchist,
yeah,
I sort of feel that every power concentration that is too big, in the end, sort of corrupts someone in some way.
Yeah.
And especially if it's like we see with men, if it's a really large group who is physically stronger, then yeah, they do find their ways to justify oppressing people.
Yeah.
And I get why that would happen the other way around as well, because I think, I don't think there's something biological that makes people bad. It's just like how people expect you to behave, the sort of the space they give you to misbehave. And I think if you have the power, you
have a lot of space
to misbehave. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. I wholeheartedly agree with you on
wow.
this.
Wow. That's the first.
And then we have the question, of course, why do people abuse power? It's like, why don't they do good?
Yeah, Julia, why do people abuse power?
I have no idea. I don't know what to say about it.
Because I feel... So if we're... I feel like... There's just like people let it happen or something. For example, in like a workspace where you have very little power.
Yeah.
It just happens.
I guess, to be honest, first I thought like why people abuse power. Like my first thought was fear of losing it. But I was like, oh yeah, but that's really thought from somebody who doesn't have power, that you would have this fear of like losing the power. But I also think that having power of something just gives pleasure.
Yeah.
It is so nice to have power and be like, I can just do this. And
yeah, I think maybe
I mean,
now.
It's not like a sexual kink for nothing, like BDSM. It like stems from this pleasure that it can give.
I think it's now also good to make the differentiation again between power to do something and power over people.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, the power to do stuff is, like, amazing. To, like, get on your bike and have the power to go all through the park, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The power over people to do something, yeah, relates, but might be different.
Yeah.
But I also think that this, why do people abuse power? I think, like, for example, some people just behave in a bad way because they don't realize that it could be different, or that they don't really see what they're doing.
Oh, so, yeah, no, they have also been conditioned that
way. So, for example, if you have a meeting with only white men, it's not that they're, like, actively abusing power or something, or that they're aware of how profoundly annoying they are if they, like, totally, like, dictate the conversation and, like, don't give space, and, like, they don't see that they're exercising power over people because they're just, like, used to being able to express it that
power.
Way that they don't even realize.
Yeah.
Like, in the same way as you don't see privilege, you know? Like, in the same way as you don't realize every day, like, oh, I'm white, this is so easy, I can, like, get fines from the police, but they don't kick me in the hospital.
Yeah, no, that's
like it's.
I thought that was really beautiful metaphor of like describing privilege, that it's like a magic carpet that you are flying on, and you just don't see the people struggling on the ground.
Yeah, yeah, but I think like privilege and power relate in some way, and that like just as you don't see those people working on the ground when you're flying above them, you might also not realize that you're actually exercising power.
Yeah.
When you say, to the left, and all the people on the ground have to turn to the left or turn to the right to keep up your carpet.
Yeah. Did you want to add, or?
No.
Okay.
But actually, I totally agree. It's, yeah.
So, if we look at how the power treats religion, the military, sex trafficking and porn, harassment, even bullying, what does the new power inversion say about the way gender and sexuality operates in society today?
So I found it really... So in the book, suddenly everything changes. Well, not suddenly, like it goes gradually.
Yeah,
but
it goes over 10 years.
It goes over 10 years. But what I find really interesting is that things that happen to men that I'm used to see or hear or read about happening to women feel much more direct, or I'm much more emotionally affected if it happens by men. So, and I think it's really weird.
You mean that, like, because I had that, like, when I was reading, while I was reading this book, I felt very uncomfortable of women, like because they do exactly the same. Abuse the power. They do it exactly in the same way as men, you know, abuse their power.
And
like,
as we don't realize every day.
With like, yeah, and realize, but it does feel, and also not realize, but it does, like when women do it, I do feel like I'm comfortable. Like, oh no, how can they do that? This is not how we're supposed to behave. And it's also like how I am conditioned to be like, women need to be nice and kind and, you know, or like kind of this hope that we should be better or something. Well, I know like there's enough women in power who are definitely not better than this.
Yeah, for me, it's on the one hand, it's that
yeah.
I sort of feel like, okay, but as women, would this really be what we're doing? But at the same time, I really feel that my reaction was different because it's just that I hadn't seen it that much. So that it's really like a cultural script,
mm-hmm.
Like a constant, like constantly being exposed to like rape of women or like degradation or whatever, sort of makes me less surprised when it happens. And like less shocked, whereas when it's suddenly a man who gets this treatment, I do get shocked.
Yeah.
And it actually reminds me of this, which is again a bit different, but of this Facebook page, Man Who Has It All. Mm-hmm. It's a Facebook page where they show like inspirational quotes for men.
Yeah.
Which are sort of like, it's time for me time. Let's moisturize your penis, feel insecure, and take 5 extra almond nuts today. And it's sort of exactly the advice you get like as a woman almost every day. Mm. Like, radical self-care, read a magazine about how fat you are, and eat half a banana, and then shave your legs and moisturize your vagina, you know? And
if you are a lonely man, you should definitely check out that Facebook page to feel better about yourself.
Yeah, but like the what I find so inspiring about this Facebook page, like next to them urging all men around me to actually moisturize, is that it shows how weird these cultural expectations are, and how weird, like, only when we see it addressed to another group we realize how weird it is that this is said to women every day.
Yeah, but it's also because I was also there, because they're talking about bullying, and I mean, even that is like kind of ingrained. If we think about that, like when a boy bullies a girl is often told like, "Oh, he likes you," and it's such a weird thing because, like, as a small girl to hear, like, so, like, you know, first the boy gets to go on with his psycho behavior, and then the girl learns, like, oh, it's normal for you to be treated this way by men. Mm-hmm. It's attention, and you should be happy with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually also, like, I don't bully my partners, but I like to,
I don't know. I have actually always, like, kind of teased all the men in my life, like, but also just, like, I think it is a necessity to keep them in their place.
Yeah,
otherwise they're just like gonna be like, I am so amazing, and it's like, no, you're not.
Yeah, I'm like, everybody, all the men I see are like amazing men, of course, that's
without a doubt but they, like, shouldn't, like, you know, be like walking next to their shoes. Or am I saying this?
No, like, I think I like
expression, right?
No. I think I like teasing also part of the time because it's making fun of my own situation. So, for example, when you, like, walk back home in the dark and you sort of make a joke like, oh, how good that I'm here to protect you.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, yeah, a guy could feel insulted in thinking I need to protect him, but the sort of the joke is on me. Like, it's a joke about, yeah, like, gender reversal, or like sort of trying to break attention about, like, yeah. The joke is that the situation is actually otherwise.
Well, I have, like, because you reminded me of, I saw a show of Amy Schumer. It's a special, a stand-up show. She's a comedian. Yes, she has been also controversial within feminism, but this was a really good joke.
Like all feminists.
Because she was, like, talking about what women fear most, and what women fear most is violence. And, like, and she was also talking about, like, you know, walking home alone, or being in the parking garage and holding your car keys in a certain way that if a guy comes to you, you could, like, you know, I don't know, do something with the key and hope for the best. And then she was like, guess what guys are most, or what men fear most? She was like, ridicule.
Yeah. And I, like, thought it was from someone else, but, like, this quote, but I do think it's true.
Yeah.
So we're laughing at you now.
Yes. Ha ha ha.
Yeah.
So, Julia, whose perspective, or, no, you didn't read the book. I'm sorry.
No, I'm
like,
sorry.
I can't, I was like,
Well, I have a question.
Yeah.
What do you think of, because normally I find it very strange that often there are, like, books or stories or this sort of idea, like, what would happen when women get the power? Mm-hmm. And this book is like, well, it would end in shit. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times it's like, it would be so much better. There would be peace on earth. Mm-hmm. Everybody would be fine. But that, of course, gives a very weird idea that, that women are essentially different. Mm-hmm. So do you have like any opinion about that? Like,
Well, as we talk about the power, I think it's depends what kind of power women will get. And yeah, but yeah, actually, I don't know.
And do you feel like women are? Do you think women are nice?
Yeah, actually, I also kind of feel that women are more supportive to each other. Like that definitely could be. And yeah, as we talked, for example, before, that if Matt gets divorced, that he doesn't get so much support from friends as a woman, for example. So yeah, for me, it's always has a feeling that women will be better if they will get power or something.
Yeah. At the same time, I also sometimes think that you get good in things as a form of like protection or something. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. I have to send the birthday cards to like my boyfriend's mother because he's not doing it. Wait, what am I saying? I don't really know.
I think you were going towards that, like you were also conditioned in a way to like be good in these female things.
So that you.
But this book actually kind of says like it shows actually also that. In the book, you really see like slowly this shift in like how women become more like take on more masculine, and I'm saying this between quotation marks, way of a being. So there's this one scene that I really spoke to me with the politician Margot. And she has to work with this governor, and she hates his guts, and he's a real dick, and he's always like blocking her, and so. But then she gets this new power, and although like it's still like not, he doesn't know that she has this power in her yet. She does like, she feels it. And she's also like just thinking about in meetings, like, if I want to, I could just like, kill everybody in this room right now. I have that power. Or at least like get them all in the hospital. But that it's like kind of affirming her power. And then later she actually has,
Is this the part with the life interview?
No, it's with the debate. Later she has this debate with this guy, the governor. They're both campaigning for the same position.
And it's on television, right?
Yeah, and it's on television. And she is actually not doing that well in the debate. But then, he's way better in like the he has better arguments, but then she like electrocutes him by accident, and then people vote for her. And I was like, oh, this is so like Trump and Hillary kind of, because he was just like with all the debates she won them like hands down. But yeah, and he was just like kind of, especially with the debate, they were both standing. It was really weird how he was like kind of hovering over her and like.
Yeah, so it's really like a show of power.
Yeah, exactly.
Also he was makes really, people trust
he,
you.
He was, and he was doing that very deliberately, and yeah.
I also think maybe it was women and could be different because women went through, many women went through this abused, and when you never had this kind of experience and you get the power, then it's completely different. When you experience when how is shitty when somebody have like much more power than you, and you, then you get it, it's I think you will use it differently.
I also think like through being in an underdog position often or being treated in some sort of way, you get mm-hmm. more like sort of a sort of feeling for what goes on in a space or who sits mm-hmm. where or what's happening,
mm-hmm.
Just because you have to.
Mm-hmm.
And
you have to read the room and be very
and
conscious.
And once you have that sort of attunement with the surrounding or with how people are in a space, you might also be nicer for some years until you start to dis.
Mm-hmm. To become too comfortable for your own good. But I think also in this book, the women become like more powerful than men. And it's also addressed like at the very end of the book in the letters that the writer Naomi Alderman has with the because it's actually suggested that a guy wrote this book. Let me see what his name was again. Neil. I don't know Neil who. But it's suggested that women become, because they're not only physically like more powerful now than men, but of course they also have like the power then over their over being reproductive.
I thought you were going to say something like, yeah, nobody's going to read like man's literature in this sort of fictional setting where there's a matriarchy. So if this Neil, whatever his name is, Neil Adam Arman, which is like a hustling of Naomi Alderman, but if this Neil wants to get his book published, he needs to have a female name.
Yeah.
Because, come on, nobody likes man's literature.
Yeah, I was actually going to, like, women are actually more cool, actually more powerful in this book than men, because we, like, not only can we electrocute, but we can also, like, make a baby.
Yeah.
Our bodies are awesome.
Yeah.
So whose perspective did you find most interesting, Harriet?
What I found most interesting, I actually liked all of it. I think I actually liked all of it, but I also liked reading about the Tunde's perspective.
Yeah, me too. It's really weird.
Maybe because I have too much empathy.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I actually liked every one of them.
Yeah, I do. I had the same thing. I liked Tunde's perspective the most, and I actually thought about like why the guy, because in the beginning he's actually really cocky and like he's even like saying to himself like, yeah, this is going to be my story of like how women are taking over the world. This is going to be my story. It's like, you're a guy. How can this be your story? But that's just like such a male way of going about things. But in the end, he just like sees how bad things are, and he's in such a bad situation, and his sister has actually like taken his work and slammed her own name on it. And but he really wants to show the world what is happening in.
But it's again a sort of like.
But he's
feeling good for the underdog or something.
Yeah, it's really a strange thing.
So maybe we're trained to like the underdog position.
Yeah, I guess.
Because at the very beginning of the book, I really liked it how when women got the power and rose into like more powerful positions and did cool stuff and started their own cult.
Yeah.
There was this sort of like not excusing, like not making excuses for taking up space, like not making, like it was for the first time that it really felt like, wow, these women are like comfortable in what they're doing. They're powerful. They're not like being annoying about what they can do. They just sort of own it, which mm-hmm. I found like a really refreshing perspective, because often I don't know, Hillary Clinton wants to become the president, but we have to be reminded that she also has like kids and that she's really soft and kind, and that although she's wearing suits, she's actually like still really feminine, or like making like explanations about why she should be there, what she should do, blah 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 blah. Whereas like mm-hmm. Roxy, for example, is like really owning what she's doing.
Yeah.
And all of them are, like, all the female characters are in the beginning owning what they're doing and not getting in trouble yet.
Yeah, except then for Jocelyn. She's like yeah. really, and that, I think that was also very interesting because she.
So Jocelyn is the daughter of
Margot,
mayor,
of the mayor, of the politician, and she
her power is not working.
And her power isn't working. Her scheme isn't functioning correctly. And but it also kind of it kind of had this because the skein also has a kind of this sexual thing to it that some men like to get little shots of electricity.
Some men like to be degraded.
Yeah, during sex and that kind of thing. But it also kind of made this like because she can't assert her power. It also kind of went into this queerness, I guess, that's yeah. the best way of describing it, and kind of referred also to that. And there is also, the book also at some points talks about cross-dressing, about men trying to like look like women and women trying to look like men more. But then in like, completely, of course, with the opposite reasons okay. for like cross-dressing.
Yeah, I thought it was fun.
It was an interesting. I was really happy that she, because what kind of always annoys me a little bit about these kind of stories of like women taking over, because they are really old. I mean, you have the.
I really
Amazon,
liked
women and stuff like that. But
and as a child, I read all the books of Thea Beckmann, which are really good about a sort of matriarchy on Iceland.
Uh-huh.
And what I found really fun about those books was that it was like really a better world, actually. And it's a bit, now I think it's a bit unconvincing.
Yeah.
But like that life really is better there.
Yeah.
And also that they are really powerful or daring to do stuff that you wouldn't expect. So, for example, in one of the books, there's like this other army trying to take over this island. And mm-hmm. then they put all the children in white dresses in front of like the bay. Mm-hmm. So sort of like, if you shoot, you have to shoot our children.
Oh, wow.
Which, was like really... So, okay, so they're, like, organizing the society in a much better world, and they have this care for their surroundings, and everybody is happy, blah, 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 everything is fun, the prison system is abolished, everything is nice. But that doesn't mean that that's out of a sort of maternal instinct for their child or something. It's also, but they're still willing to make offers, or still, like, very principled mm-hmm. in some sort of way, and that was something I really appreciated in that book.
Yeah. No, but what I also, what I like about this is that, because what I think most of those stories, what it concentrates so on is the binary between, like, you know, there's men and there's women. And,
yeah.
And the women are against the men. And they, when they come to power, things for men will get really bad. And like, I guess this is also like kind of the discourse that's going on in the US, for example, with like the witches are coming.
Yeah, it's a sort of strange
for Trump and
polarizing gender binary that's not even true.
Yeah.
And it's like essentializing those genders and not acknowledging that there's stuff in between and that people are formed in a certain way and that, yeah.
Yeah, no, but also this like idea that feminism would be about like, you know, women coming to power and then like the Amazons, like, you know, chopping off men's limbs and then just like using them for sex, and that's what they get, that's what they are for, that's it. And I'm just like, but yeah, maybe then we can go on to the love story at the end, because like when the book gets really grim at a certain point, and I was like, at one point I was like, I don't know if I can go on anymore. This is so bad. But then there's a love story that kind of like develops, and you're like, oh, there is still good in the world.
What was this love story again?
It was Tune, who was like in the Moldavian forest, and then he meets Roxy, whose skin was taken from her by her like brother, like surgically removed, and she's not powerful anymore. And he like, you know, just lost everything and is lost and captured by people living in the woods. And she helps him to run away from there. Yeah, freeze him and run away together. And they fall in love.
What do you think about people falling in love? No, but I feel like it's sort of, on the one hand, I didn't find it disturbing in this book.
Yeah, me neither.
But in a lot of books and stories, I find it really frustrating that in the end, it's sort of like,
love
don't worry about this.
All.
Don't worry about this. In the end, they do turn in a heterosexual romantic unit and they procreate and everybody lives happily ever after, and they don't really care anymore that much about the world around them because they're in love and they're in this nice bubble. And so I feel that on
they're
the one
in
hand,
a neutral family.
It's like very often like a sort
family.
Of easy way to end the story in a happy sort of thing,
yeah,
but it's also
note.
Like making it less threatening when it's in the end like, oh, but you know, women become more powerful, or look, everything went crazy, but in the end what women really want is a happily ever after with a person with a dick, which yeah feels a bit like why there's always this romantic narrative has to
intervene.
Yeah, like, why can't it be like, and then she got the job. She was really happy.
Yeah, because we were first planning to talk about this book next to a movie called No Men Beyond This Point, and it was about, like, how men were dying.
That was also a really fun movie.
It was really fun the first half hour, but then I think because it was made by a guy, and that this guy was like,
guys,
I think women would be really okay without men.
Like, it was also, there were some really strange things in the book.
And then
like,
they just had this love story to like, you know, kind of make it all end.
But also like this premise of the book that internet wouldn't be there. Like if men were not allowed, I was like, come on, we would have much better things than the internet. A large part of the internet was actually invented by women.
But like, also like the whole thing that women, like, you know, that we would be really prudish.
Yeah.
And like, I was like, no, that's what vibrators are for.
Yeah. Like the idea in the book was also like, in the story like, was like, yeah, everybody turns into like lesbian couples, but then they don't really have sex.
Yeah,
and it was
like, really
come
weird.
On! I would have sex the whole fucking time.
Yeah. But also this idea that like, you know, women would not be able to get off without men. I was like,
yeah, only a man can invent that kind of story.
Yeah. So we are at the end of our program, but there are still a couple of things we would like to announce. So the Ladyfest in Maastricht is on 4 and 5 May. I will be participating there for Bloed aan den Muur on a panel discussion, and there will also be a recording of that, so stay tuned for that. And then there is also the Pinkster Landdagen in Appelscha on 9 and 10 June. And what else?
So there might be social media stuff around Julia's case and about the IMS agency in the Urban Lodge. And I just wanted to say that if you make summer plans, you should check out what Ende Gelände is doing this year, what Reclaim the Power is doing, and maybe read some updates about Code Rood to see how you can participate in stuff.
Okay. Cool.
So, if you have any complaints, tips, or encouragements, you can send us an email to putdemur@riseup.net. We also have a newsletter, which you can subscribe to via our new website. Sort of. So please do. We promise we'll only send you an email when there is a new episode. And if we have really upset you, you're more than welcome to send us hate mail. You'll receive a bad quality webcam picture of my breasts in about 10 years from now. So you have to wait quite a long time. So yet again, to get all these goodies, our email address is putdemur@riseup.net. We're very happy with all your input.
Goodbye.
Ciao.